Well, good morning, everyone. What a delight and a privilege it is to be here today with you. We've been looking forward to this day. We've heard so much about APNTS down through the years. In fact, our good friend Dr. LeBron Fairbanks was president here at one time, and he kept telling me how wonderful a place it is. And then Dr. Porter and Mrs. Porter come and teach here, and they brag on you and how wonderful you are. And as I've gone around today, I can see why. They're all right about you, and we are so thankful for what God is doing here and through your lives. And we're so appreciative of all the faculty and the staff and their work here among you. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me, or your phones if you have it on your phone. But the scripture that was read for us this morning was found in Philippians chapter 3, a very familiar portion of scripture, and we will be looking at that a little bit later. There's a story about an American Native Indian who was out one day walking out in the wilderness, and he found an eagle's egglet. How many of you know what an eagle is? Raise your hand if you do. There's four different types in the Philippines. So my brother from Korea said, I've seen one in the zoo before. So that's about where I've seen them too, in the zoo. But this Indian was walking down and he found this eagle's egglet, and he said, well, what am I going to do with it? And so he took it back to his village and he put it in the nest of a chicken. A prairie chicken. And so that chicken laid on it just like it was one of her own eggs. And finally, that little eaglet hatched. And he looked around and all he saw were prairie chickens. So he didn't have a mirror to look at himself to see that he was different from the prairie chickens. So he kind of grew up thinking he was a prairie chicken. So he did what prairie chickens do. He scratched in the dirt for seeds and insects. He cuckled and cackled, and every once in a while, in great excitement, he'd fly a few feet off the ground in a flurry of feathers, because that's the way chickens flew. Little did he realize that he was an eagle, created to soar majestically in the sky on the wind currents, to see from miles down upon what was happening on the earth. The years passed, and that little eagle now grew old. And one day he was walking out with a bunch of prairie chickens, and he looked up at the sky, and he saw this most magnificent bird high in the cloudless skies. And he thought to himself, wow, look at that bird. What is that? A prairie chicken said, well, oh, that's an eagle. That's the king of all birds. And the now old eagle said to the prairie chickens, boy, I wish I could fly like that. And the prairie chicken says, don't give it a second thought. You can never fly like an eagle. So he lived and he died thinking he was a chicken. Created to soar, conditioned to scratch around on the earth. What a tragedy. Created to soar, conditioned to scratch around on the earth. He settled for mediocrity when he could have pursued excellence. And I congratulate you on being here as a student. I congratulate you on following the call of God in your life to come here and to prepare yourselves. But the question that I have for you today is not where are you right now, but where are you going to be, and what are you going to do with the rest of your life? As we begin this new year, how are you going to live 2016? Are you going to just scratch around and settle for mediocrity? Or will you pursue excellence in your life? In the Bible, the Apostle Paul, I think, is a wonderful example of a man who pursued excellence in his life. And in Philippians chapter 3, he kind of gives us, I think, a formula for pursuing excellence in our lives. It begins right there in verse 12, where he talks to us about a dissatisfaction in life. Look what Paul wrote in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. It's amazing, isn't it? Here's the Apostle Paul talking about a dissatisfaction that he had in life. If you look at the next slide, he'll talk about that dissatisfaction. It shows it how he said, wait a minute, I've not accomplished anything yet. Now stop for a moment and think about who the Apostle Paul was, what he had already done in his life. He had already been on 3 missionary journeys. He had already started numerous churches around the known world. He had a personal pedigree. In fact, when you start talking about Paul's pedigree in verse 5 of Philippians chapter 3, look what he says. He said, I was circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, I was a Pharisee, and man, I kept the law. I knew the law, and I kept it. He said, as far as zeal, man, I was passionate. I even persecuted the church. As for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. That was his pedigree. But then he goes on in verse 7, and he says, but was ever to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. In other words, what is more, he says in verse 8, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I've lost all things, but I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. You see, Paul was never satisfied with where he was in his life. He always wanted more out of his spiritual life and out of his walk with God. And I believe in all of our life, if we'll never pursue excellence in any area of our lives until we become dissatisfied with where we are. I mean, if you're satisfied with where you are in your life right now, the chances are you're not going to do any better than what you're doing. Let's take, for instance, in relationships. If you're content with where you are in your relationship with other people, husbands, if you're content with your marriage, wives, if you're content with your marriage, the chances are you're never going to work harder at your marriage to make it a better marriage. If you're in your classes, if you are, do you do ABCs here? You do? So if you're content with the C, yeah, I got a C. I'm average. The chances are you're probably not going to strive for a B. And if you're happy with the B, then the chances are you're not going to strive to get an A. How many of you want A's? Anybody? One does. Stand up, brother. You're my man. See, you could have had a great opportunity for your lecturers to look how desperately you want an A. But if you're satisfied right where you are, the chances are you're probably not going to do more to achieve excellence. How many are you presently in ministry in a local church? If you're a pastor, worship leader, teach a Sunday school class, work with children or youth. If you're happy right where you are and how you're doing, then the chances are pretty good that you're never going to improve and grow and develop in your ministry. If you're a professor here, a lecturer here, if you're very happy just rehashing the same old thing year after year, the chances are you're probably not going to challenge your students to new levels in their own life. You see, for all of us, there's areas of growth. And especially, listen to this, especially in the area of our personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We will never continue to grow or mature in our Christian faith until we become dissatisfied right where we are. It will never improve in the area of our devotional life, of studying God's Word, of knowing God's Word. We'll never grow and develop in our prayer lives if we're content with praying 2 minutes a day. Or 3 minutes a day. We'll never grow in that area. If we do not continue to have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, the chances are we will be content living the life that we have right now. You see, we need to have a holy dissatisfaction with where we are. If you're very happy living your life and not living a life of holiness, a life that is totally consecrated to God, if you are not at the point in your life where you're saying, Holy Spirit, here I am, I give myself to you, shape me, mold me, fill me, use me. Holy Spirit, help me to become more and more like Jesus Christ. I want Jesus to occupy every part of my being so that he can form me to be a reflection of his very image. Then the chances are pretty good that you'll just stay where you are. Could I challenge you? Challenge you in your life in 2016 that by the end of this year, you will be able to look back and say, you know what? I have surrendered myself to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is changing me and forming me and shaping me, and I am becoming more a reflection of Jesus than I ever have been before. I've been living this life for a few years. All of you could be my grandchildren almost. Children for sure. But my heart's desire is that in 2016, that I will be more like Jesus today at the end of this year than I am today. Have you totally surrendered yourself to His Holy Spirit? And have you said, Holy Spirit, take me this year, not just today, but throughout this year, take me and mold me and make me and shape me and transform me into the very image and likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Chances are you'll never pray that prayer if you're happy where you are, content. But if we're going to soar to new heights, if we're going to achieve excellence in the area of our spiritual growth, in our studies, our marriages, our ministries, then we have to say, I am dissatisfied with where I am. Holy Spirit, do a new work in me. Amen? But the second step in this formula is not only a dissatisfaction, but a devotion. Notice what he says there. One thing I do. Look at verse 8. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken a hold of it yet, but one thing I do. You know what he wanted to know? He had a goal in his life. In verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ. That was his single goal. Oh, yes, yeah, starting churches, that was great. Being a theologian of the church, that was great. Planting churches all over the world, that was great. But the thing he wanted more than anything else is that he wanted to know Christ. And you see, if we're going to rise above mediocrity, and if we're going to pursue excellence in our lives, then we must be willing to devote ourselves to goals in our lives. And I think the reason many people dwell in mediocrity and don't pursue excellence is they've never set any goals. They just kind of let life control them instead of them controlling life. I liked what the professor at Cornell University said. He wrote this. He said, listen, he said, the establishment of a goal, you ready? The establishment of a goal is the key to successful living. People who excel in their endeavors are the ones who, first of all, determine clear-cut goals, and secondly, devote their energies towards fulfilling those goals. You see, we need to set some goals in our life. What are your goals for this new year? Just to make it through another semester. Just to finish this class. Just to graduate. Well, those are good goals, right? But how about setting the goal a little higher? Well, what about coming to the place where you're saying, I want to set a goal that this year I am not only going to do well as far as a grade goes, but I'm going to learn well. I'm going to not only learn it up here, but I'm going to put it in here so that it can shape me and form me the rest of my life and the rest of my calling and the rest of my ministry. Do you want your life to be exciting and victorious? Then how about this? Set some goals. Set some goals for your spiritual development. You ever thought about doing that? Set some goals for your devotional life. Well, this year I want to read through the whole Bible. That's a good goal, isn't it? Or this year I want to spend so much time in prayer in His presence. Or this year I want to grow in this area of my church involvement. I know I'm preparing for ministry, but I need to be in ministry now. So I want to get involved somewhere. Whether it's working with children or working with teens or working with the music or pastoring a church, I want to get involved somewhere now. Not wait till I graduate, but now. I want to be involved in a spiritual witnessing to other people. I want to make an influence upon people on this campus, but also people outside of this campus. I want to grow and mature in my own spiritual life. In fact, I tell you what I did one year. I was reading in Galatians chapter 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. You know what I'm talking about? Shake your head if you do. Okay, a few of you do. The rest of you can read it later, okay? Galatians chapter 5. So I started praying about that. And I said, okay, God, let's work on the... I want to be a fruitful person this year. So let's work on love. So we worked on love for a while, and every day I'd pray, oh God, fill me with your divine love. I want to love as you love. I want to love people that love me, but I also want to love people that don't really like me that much. I want to love people that are easy to love and those people that just kind of rub me the wrong way. I want to love people inside my church, but I want to love people outside my church. So Holy Spirit, just fill me with your divine love. So for 4 years, I continued to pray that for a few months. And then I said, okay, let's go to joy, because I want to be a joyful person. And I wanted him to develop joy in my life. And then I came to patience, and I said, God, hurry up. Give me patience. And that didn't work too well. So he had to really work on patience for me. What I'm saying to you is ask the Holy Spirit, what area of your life needs to grow this year? Okay? Ask the Holy Spirit. Or maybe ask a close brother. They might say, you need more love, or you need patience. Or just ask God, God, where do you want me to grow and develop? It might be goodness or gentleness or kindness. And then set some goals to allow God to help you to grow and develop and become more and more like him. You might have some goals in ministry that you want to see accomplished this year. If we are going to move beyond just existing and just getting by and mediocrity, if we're going to pursue excellence, we need to have a dissatisfaction where we are, but also a devotion to say, God, I want to do more. Do more through me than you've ever done before. Would that be a good prayer? He wants to do more than what we can even ask or think or imagine. Let's ask him. But then there's a third step that Paul has here, and that is a determination. Verse 13, he says this, brothers, sisters, you're included here. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of this. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me, and straining towards what is ahead. You know, as the beginning of a new year, it's kind of good for us to put in the past, isn't it? There's nothing we can do to change the past year, so let's forget about that. But we have the future ahead of us. So forgetting that which is behind me, and looking towards the future. In fact, he said, I'm straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul pressed on. Listen to those words. I strain. Talking about an intense effort, a passion. The Apostle Paul had that intense effort, that passion for being all that God wanted him to be. And if we're going to achieve excellence in our lives, then we must be determined and be willing to say, Lord, I'm going to press on this year. I'm going to give it my best shot. I'm going to give it my best effort. I'm going to give everything I have to you and to your glory and to your honor and to my preparation for ministry. You see, many times the difference between just getting by in mediocrity and excellence is your determination. Now, I know for some of you, getting good grades, getting your work done is easier because you're really smart. God's given you a great mind. And I know others of you, you work really hard. Maybe English is not a good language for you. Haven't quite mastered English, and so it's hard work for you. But you know what researchers tell us? Researchers tell us that really the difference in those who achieve are those who give it their effort and their determination. And if we are willing to say, Lord, I give you myself. I'm not be as bright as somebody else, as smart as somebody else, but I give every part of my being to you. You know what he does? He takes what we offer, and he blesses it, and he uses it for his honor and his glory. Isn't that good? So that means I can be included, because if we surrender ourselves to him, he takes us, and he blesses it, and he then uses it for his honor and his glory. In the United States, there's a university called Indiana University. It's a major university in the United States, and they have been known down through time as kind of a headquarters for national swimming champions. In fact, the reason is they had one swimming coach for a number of years. His name was James, and they called him Doc Councilman. He had won more national championships, had more national champions than any other university, I mean almost all of them combined, in the United States. So one day a reporter came to him and they asked him, they said, "Hey doc, could you tell us the difference between a good swimmer and a great swimmer?" And he said, "Well, let me just tell you this. Here at Indiana University, we don't have good swimmers. We only recruit great swimmers. But if you want to know the difference between a great swimmer and a swimmer who becomes a champion, I can answer that question for you." And the reporter said, "Well, that's what I wanted to know." He said, "Well, the difference between a great swimmer, which all of our recruits, all of our students here are great swimmers, but the difference between a great swimmer and a champion swimmer, you ready for this? Is 5 minutes more." The reporter said, "What?" He said, "The difference between a great swimmer and a champion swimmer is 5 minutes more." "What do you mean, coach?" "Well, the difference is between a swimmer who's great, but he's willing to give 5 more minutes in the weight room getting stronger and stronger. He's willing to give 5 minutes more in the swimming pool, practicing his technique, practicing the turn, working out on the laps. He's willing to give that 5 minutes more that will move him from being a great swimmer to a champion swimmer, is in those 5 minutes more." And you know, many times the difference between an average student and a good student and a great student is someone who will give 5 minutes more. 5 minutes more working on that paper. In fact, rereading it over and over again. The difference between someone who's good in the classroom or someone who's good in ministry and a good preacher is someone who's willing to give that 5 minutes more studying the Word, talking to God, allowing the Spirit to speak into them. It's in that 5 minutes more. The difference between a good worker and a great worker is someone who's willing to spend that 5 minutes more in thinking and processing and giving of themselves to their jobs. It's in that 5 minutes more where true champions are made. And you know, it's the same thing in almost every area of life. The difference between a good marriage and a great marriage, you want me to tell you the difference? Is a husband who will listen for 5 minutes more. I would say talk for 5 minutes more, but that might be an impossibility. But seriously, a couple who's willing to spend 5 minutes more talking and listening to one another. You know the difference between a good parent and a great parent? A parent who will be willing to give that 5 minutes more with their child, to play that game that they played 100 times, to watch that same DVD that they've seen forever. The difference between a great parent and an average parent is giving that 5 minutes more of attention and love to your children. The difference between a great student and an average student is someone who will give it that 5 minutes more of studying. And the difference between an average Christian and someone who God can use in great ways is that Christian who is willing to give 5 minutes more with God, of reading and studying His Word, of talking to Him in prayer, of listening to His voice as He speaks to you. When I was pastoring, I pastored really almost all of my life. Since I graduated from seminary 5 years, I was director of Sunday School Ministries, but pastoring was what I loved doing. And I'd work on a sermon all week long, and I'd struggle with that, Floyd, and I'd listen, and I'd study and read the commentaries, and I'd try to write it out and try to figure it out. And then I'd finally just say, "God, why is this so hard?" He said, "Why don't you listen to me for a little bit?" And it's amazing. God could straighten out a sermon and fix it right in 5 minutes more of listening to Him than it took me 20 hours to do. It's that 5 minutes more of staying in His presence and opening up our heart to Him and say, "Holy Spirit, speak to me. Show me where I am. Show me what You want to do in me." And as we prayed the prayer as we began this, a 5 minutes more saying, "Lord, search my heart, O God. See if there's any offensive way in me. Lord, purify me, cleanse me, change me, mold me into the person that You created me to be so that I can be an influence for You in my world." It's in those 5 minutes more that God can begin to use us in greater ways than we've ever thought possible. Let me ask you this morning, are you willing to give those 5 minutes more? Are you willing to strain your muscles and your mind? Are you willing to give God every part of your life? If you are, I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll take you and he'll use you in ways that you never, ever dreamed possible. You see, excellence is not restricted by age or race or intellect or occupation. It's the people who are willing to say, Lord, I'm yours. So the question is, are you going to live your life like a prairie chicken, scratching around for seeds and insects? Or will you commit yourself to soar like an eagle into the heights that he has for you? Let's all pursue excellence. Amen? Let's pursue excellence, a dissatisfaction with mediocrity, a devotion to one goal of knowing him and being like him, and a determination to give every part of our lives to him for his honor and his glory. I like this little poem that I read somewhere. Listen to this. Come to the edge. It's too high. No, come to the edge. But Lord, if I do, I might fall. Come to the edge. And I came, and the Spirit pushed me, and I soared like an eagle. May it be so for you. In your studies here, in your relationships, in your marriages, in your teaching, and in your service and ministry to him, may we soar with the eagles. Amen? Let's stand together. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? And would you use these moments here just to commit your life, commit yourself, commit this year, commit your studies, your ministries. Just be willing to commit yourself to God. Oh, I know you've already done that before. But this is a new year, right? This is a new day. If someone says, this is the first day of the rest of your life, how about the rest of your life? Could we say, Lord, I'm yours. I surrender everything to you. I surrender the classwork. I surrender my fellowship. I surrender every part to you, Lord. I'm yours. Take me now, Lord. Use me. This year, Lord, would you shape me more and more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ? Lord, the parts of my life that need to be changed, would you change them? The areas where I need to be filled by your Spirit, would you fill me? Would you help me to be all that you want me to be for your honor and your glory? There might be some of you that'd like to come and pray at an altar. The altar's always open. You can feel free to come if you'd like to spend some time with him, but let's pray together, okay? Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful today that you do not call us to a life of mediocrity, that you do not call us and leave us where we are, but you are a God who will take us where we are and change us and transform us and use us for your honor and your glory. And Lord, that's what we desire in my life. That's what I desire for every student, faculty member here. Lord, we don't want to just be average. We want to be at our best for you. So Lord, give us that holy dissatisfaction and give us a determination, dear Father, to set some goals this year and then allow you to help us to meet those goals throughout this new year and throughout this semester in school. Lord, I pray that you would speak in the areas of our relationships and our marriages and our friendships. Lord, we give you all of those as well. May we be strong in our marriages. May we be strong in our relationships. Lord, if there are things that are in our lives today that are holding us back from being everything you want us to be, then Lord, through your Holy Spirit today, would you just break those chains that are holding us back from moving forward with you? Lord, if there's any sin in our life that we've hidden well from everyone else, but we know in our heart it's there, would you come through the power of your Spirit today and cleanse us and purify us and empower us to be all that you want us to be? Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us Not to be so busy with our schoolwork and our studies that we neglect our devotional life with you. Lord, help us not be so busy preparing for ministry that we stop doing ministry. To preparing ourselves to serve you that we ignore our relationship with you. But Lord, I pray that in these years that the students are here, that you might help them to grow not only in their knowledge, but also in their relationship with you, so that then when they leave this place, they will not only have prepared themselves, but boy, they have developed and matured and grown in a relationship with you, dear Father. So I pray that would be so for each one of us, from the faculty to every student to the staff members who work on this campus. May it be so that we would be at our best for the one who gave his best and continues to give himself to us through your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence here today. And we praise you for that which you're going to do this year, but also in the future through the lives of these students to change their worlds in the name of Jesus. And for all of this, Lord, we thank you and praise you, for we ask it in your name. Amen and amen.